excited about what I'm going to be sharing with you today. There's a principle, or really it's a truth in God's Word that is found in Genesis, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation. In fact, I'm going to take it beyond this thought of it's a principle, because it's more than a principle. And really, it's more than a truth. In fact, it's a law of God. And it's found in the Word of God continually, and it works in any time, in any season, or any generation. Now, I want you to think about that as I'm preaching today. It's the law of sowing and reaping. I don't know what it is about this time of year that I think about harvesting and the topic of harvest, but I do. The title of my message today is Harvest Now. I want to say that again. Harvest Now. In these changing and even difficult times, dear ones, we need to be reminded of this truth, or really, let me say it again, this law. Now, when we talk about sowing and reaping, we usually think of it in negative terms. But I don't want you to think of it in negative terms. I'm going to approach it from a positive position, because I really believe it is a positive truth. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and I'm going to be reading most of my verses today from the New Living Translation. It says this, it says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Now, friends, I want to tell you something. This is God's promise to you and me for all time. Yes, He is making reference to a physical harvest. But folks, for most of the physical truths that are in God's Word or deal with physical things, there is a spiritual truth as well. And without a doubt, there will always be harvesting. There will always be planting, and there will always be harvesting. But here's what I want you to hear today, and I really want to get your attention today. This is true of spiritual matters. It is harvest now. I don't think of it in negative terms. Let's put those things that we tend to think about the most in negative terms, let's put it under the blood of Jesus today. Because you need to hear what I've got to say with what's coming on the earth and the time that we live in. Genesis 26 and verse 12 says, when Isaac planted his crop that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord, and I like this, blessed him. I may just prophesy a little bit today beyond my preaching, because I've been hearing the Lord speak to me about this next year. This is going to be a good year that's upcoming, folks. And I know we've still got much time in this year, but you need to hear God. I want to stir your faith this morning. It seems like everywhere we look, it's famine. It looks like when we watch the news, it seems like we hear more and more negative news. But I want to tell you something. This law of sowing and reaping works even in times of famine or in bad economies. It's true. Even in bad economies, God's Word and God's truth works. Can I hear a great big amen this morning? I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 26, and you can read it later, it says, there was a famine in the land. You need to know that when Isaac was planting his crops, there was a famine in the land. And then it goes on to say, besides the famine that was in the days of Abraham. So he's making a distinction here of two different famines. Apparently the one in Abraham's time was very severe, and now he's saying even this one is very severe. You got to hear me today. I want you to tune in and listen. God's laws are not subject to mankind. Now we need to grasp that. I'm going to say it again. God's laws are not subject to mankind. Rather, mankind is subject to God's laws. Whether we acknowledge them or not, whether we like it or not, we are subject to the laws of God. Can you say amen one more time? And notice that Jacob sowed and he reaped in a bad economy. Actually, it was Isaac. Now, everything I'm sure in his mind His logical mind said, don't sow in this time of harvest because you will not reap. Friends, listen to me. Every time that you and I rely on our logic, it overrides God's truth. And God cannot work in an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief. Every time we begin to depend upon our logical mind, guess what? We nullify God's truth and we get in trouble. I don't want you in trouble today. I want you to hear God's truth that works now, in this time, in this generation, in the day that we live, in the economy that we're in. Because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make logical sense to sow now. In fact, if we're not very careful, folks, a spirit of greed will come over us and say, you need to keep and you need to withhold. You need to keep what you've got and sustain what you've got, because if you don't, man, you're going to be in trouble. That's the logical mind. And aren't you glad that Isaac didn't listen to his logical mind? He reaped 100-fold, even in famine. Now, here's a verse for you found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it says this, give and you will receive. Can I just stop and say, aren't you glad that God didn't withhold His Son? Aren't you glad that God gave? Aren't you glad that He gave even in a time where it looked like all of humanity was turning against Him? Here's what it says. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. Now what He's talking about is when they would go and gather the wheat and when they would carry things, they had this little thing here, and it was a little sash, and they would fill it up. And this is how they would go shopping. This is how they would carry things. And they would pour the fruit in there and the wheat, and they would shake it more and more. And then they'd have someone press it down. They wanted to get as much for their money as they could. They'd pour more in. They'd shake it down. They'd press it down. And eventually, they knew they'd gotten all in there they could. Then it began to run over. Then they knew they had to go home. And they knew that they had gotten their money's worth. He is saying, if you will give, you will receive, even in a bad economy. Now listen to this. Here's the last part of that verse. Oh, you've got to get this law operating in your life, and you've got to do it now. There's no time to wait. There's no time to reason. There's no time to operate in your logical mind. You've got to get it now. Because the rest of this verse says, the amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. Now, the law of sowing and reaping applies to all areas of our lives. If you go back, and I encourage you to do that and read the entire chapter. Go read the context of this scripture. It's not just dealing with money. But it's dealing with your time. It's dealing with your talents. It's dealing with your treasures. It's dealing with how you deal with people. It's talking about not judging people. It's talking about giving people grace and giving people mercy as you want from God. It's talking about forgiving and releasing people's offenses. How many of you know we all want that? We want it, but we got to give it. So He says, give and you will receive. Now in Matthew 13, some of you are familiar with this. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. It says the sower went out to sow seed one day. It says some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some sprang up and died quickly. Some fell among thorns and were choked out. Don't you let this word that I'm preaching to you today get choked out by the cares of this life. But I like this. Verses 8 and 9 say this. And why don't we focus on this verse more than we do the seed that fell by the wayside and the stony ground and that sprang up quickly? It says in verses 8 and 9, still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now listen to verse 9. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Beloved, do you realize how often the Bible says to him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Do you realize in the book of Revelation how many times it's referred to him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying? I prayed today that your ears would be open, not your physical ears. Oh, that's wonderful too, but your spiritual ears. That you would be able to receive this truth right now. I don't know, folks. There's something about the way God got hold of my heart earlier in this service. And right now, there is an urgency to this word. I'm not just preaching a nice little pretty sermon to you today. There's something about us beginning to operate in this now so that we can reap the harvest that God has for us. I pray all of us who have spiritual ears will hear and listen and understand. Now, what made the difference in all these other types of soil versus this one that bear 30, 60, and even 100 fold? Well, verse 23 tells us. It says, the seed that fell on good soil represented those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. They were able to hear what God's word said. Folks, listen to me. If you're going to be a logical thinker about everything about God, I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to miss out on much of what God has for you in the years to come. I'm telling you, folks, I sense it so strongly today. God has a prosperity and God has a blessing stored up for His people, and God is not running out of blessings today. You ought to just go ahead and shout real loud today. What made the difference? They truly heard and they understood God's word. They decided we're going to be faith people and we're going to hear with faith and not with doubts. You know, a lot of people, when preachers start talking about giving these days, they're so skeptical of preachers and their motives. Folks, listen, don't worry about the preacher. Worry about God's word. Think about God's word and what God says. Amen? Not all preachers are dishonest. In fact, the vast majority of them are very honest, God-fearing, loving people. There's a few bad apples everywhere. But the ones I know and the ones that I hang around with, folks, are good men, and they love God, and they are sincere about what they're doing. And all they want to do is get the gospel out. All they want is their churches to be blessed and their community to find the gospel. That's all they want. Now, there is another side to this coin or this teaching. Satan has a counterfeit harvest for your life. And it's also found in these verses. In fact, I want to read Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. It says, here's another story that Jesus told, or a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in the field. But that night, as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. That's just like the devil. He sneaks in when you're tired. He comes when you're not expecting it. And what does he try to do? He tries to plant weeds in your life. And then he slips away. And then he laughs at you. And then he torments you. And then he discourages you. That's the devil. Folks, God is not out to discourage you today. I can tell you, the voice of God is a good voice, and when you hear it, you need to respond to it. He said, then he slipped away, and when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. Verse 27 says, the workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? Verse 28 tells us, it says, an enemy has done this. I'm going to preach just a little bit. Stop blaming God for your woes. Stop blaming God. Well, I'm just not going to go to church anymore. There's just too many hypocrites, and that stuff doesn't work. And all those preachers want is your money. An enemy has done this. Stop relying on those excuses. They're not going to work anyway. And when you get to heaven, or wherever you go and you say, God, here's the deal. They all did me wrong and I couldn't believe your stuff. God isn't going to buy that. Because right now, folks, it's not an accident that you're hearing this. An enemy has done this. The farmer explained. I don't want to get so conscious of the devil that all we do is talk about the devil and what he's doing. I don't believe that's the point at all. But I do want you to know, he will try to come to you when you are tired, when you're weary, maybe something's gone on in your life, you're very discouraged, maybe a bad report. And guess what? That's when he'll try to come and plant the weeds. And you need to be aware of it, and you don't want to buy into what he's saying and start harvesting bad weeds. Because you start letting your mind get messed up and start buying into his lies, I'm going to tell you, you're going to reap a harvest of weeds, and life isn't going to go very well for you. It's true. Now, here's another truth that we really need to grasp, because I think most people, just average, everyday Christian, struggles with feeling like whether or not they have anything to offer God. You know, the things that come natural for us, we kind of wonder, well, does it really even make a difference? Oh, I'm telling you, it does. That small thing that you present to God that you kind of comes natural for you, think, this is nothing. Oh, it is. It is. It doesn't take a big seed to get great results, folks. Here's what Matthew 13, verses 31 through 32 say. Again, it says, here's another illustration that Jesus used. Said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nest in its branches. Now, this isn't negative. If you've ever heard anybody preach about this, you know how the devil tries to come and nest in your eye. This is a good thing. He's talking about this little small seed, this thing that we think is so insignificant in our life that we sense maybe we ought to offer to God, but we just really don't think that it matters to God and it doesn't matter to anybody else. The small seed can produce great results, so much so that it becomes one day a haven for people to rest in and for people to be relieved from the burden and from the heat of life. Sometimes we think that we have to do grandiose things to get results. But I want you to listen. Are you hearing me today? And I do believe I'm speaking the heart of God today. It's the small things that we do day after day after day after day after day that we do that causes a great harvest to come up in our life. It's the little small mundane things that we don't think matter. It's the greeting one another at the supermarket. It's the saying thank you. It's sending the card. It's making the telephone call. It's praying for somebody. It's the little things. It's sitting down with your children and encouraging them that they are somebody and encouraging them in their homework and other things. It's just the day-to-day stuff. It's the small things. It's the getting up and saying, thank you, Lord, for the day, and not saying, good Lord, it's another day. It's being thankful. It's the small things. It's the small things, like getting up on church time and saying, we're going to church. And I heard a preacher this morning preaching about revival, and he said, you know, if the kids come to you and say, hey, are we going to church today? You've said a whole lot about yourself. That shouldn't even be discussed in a Christian home. Are we going to church today? Unless there's death or something like that going on, maybe so. Well, you know, Dad, it's raining outside. Or are we going to church? Man, you've told more about yourself than you could ever know. It's about the little things. And coming to church seems so small to so many people today. But you know how encouraging it is when you look around and see people in church. It's the little things that really make a difference. And then one day you look around and you say, my goodness, we are blessed. We are blessed. And then when you do have difficulties, you find the grace and the ability to say, Lord, we're going to praise you anyway. Not for this, but we're going to praise you anyway. And we know we're going to come out on the other side because you're a good God. And we've got a great harvest coming up in our lives. Man, this excites me. I want to tell you, God's into this thing of harvesting. And I got to tell you this, beloved, God has a harvest that will soon be reaped. Now again, I know our logical mind living the way we live in this blessed country, and it is hard for us to relate to the fact that one day the Bible says that the last days will be finished and God will come back. And I'm telling you, folks, God's coming back for a harvest. Oh, if you're a skeptic, if you're a doubter, if you're an unbeliever, you need to listen to me today. Because Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16, listen to these verses. And this is just a few verses that talk about harvest in the last days, in the last moments of time in history, as we know it. It says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. And he had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." God believes in this law of harvesting and reaping. Verse 15 says, "Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, 'Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on the earth is ripe.' So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." Now, beloved, don't go into fear mode right now. The only people that should be afraid right now are the people who have ignored God and who are not listening to God's voice, and as the Holy Spirit is calling them, those are the only people that need to be fearful right now. The rest of you need to be rejoicing. Because let me tell you what God did, friends. Nearly 6,000 years ago, God planted a seed in a place called the Garden of Eden. He planted one seed. He planted a man. He planted the beginning of humanity. One seed God planted on the earth. And now today, dear ones, there are almost 7 billion people living on the face of the earth. Started with one seed. Started with God Himself planting one small seed called Adam. Do you realize that there are more people alive in the earth today than have been in all of history? Do you think that's an accident? And it's not an accident you're here. It's not an accident that people are hearing me today. God's not in the business of accidents. You're not an accident. It's no accident you're hearing this message, however you hear it today. But one day soon, folks, God will harvest the earth. He will harvest the good seed, the good plants, the good people. God will also harvest the weeds, those who are not bad, who have rejected Him. He will swing His sickle and He will harvest the crops of the earth because He planted it and He knew a day of harvest was coming. And by the way, this won't be the only time that God has harvested His people. But every one of us need to know there's coming a day. It's called a day of reckoning. Now, I'm not trying to go negative on you or kind of steal the joy of this message today. But I want you to see how this thing is going to end. This thing is going to end with a great harvest. And if you have believed in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice for your life, and you have confessed Him as Lord of your mouth, guess what? When that sickle comes, if you're still alive in the earth, guess what? You're going to go straight into the arms of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise His almighty name. But if not, then there's another place you're going to go. You're going to go into outer darkness where the devil and his angels are put. Some of you say now, see, some of you could lose me right now and say, "Well, now, okay, now you've been doing real good today, preacher. I've been happy, all this harvesting, all this reaping, but now you're talking about this outer darkness and stuff." Folks, listen to me. God never created hell for people. He created it for rebellious, sinful, willful angels who rejected Him and who denied Him. That's what hell is for. That's what Luke says. That's why God created hell. Oh, a loving God could never create a hell. God doesn't want the devil and his angels living in heaven with us. Praise the Lord for that. I've had enough of the devil and I've had enough of demon spirits. I don't want to dwell with them in heaven. Y'all stay on that side of the tracks over there, Mr. Devil. I don't want any of that. In fact, the Bible says that we're going to a place without tears, without sorrow, without sickness, without mourning, without anything that's sad. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm sick of the devil because he is the author of all these things. That's what the Bible says. The thief is the one who's done this. Friends, I got to tell you, this law of harvesting is found throughout all of Scripture. It's throughout all of Scripture. And I could preach for hours on this subject. In fact, there were some verses that I wanted to preach, and the Lord said, no, don't do that. And I won't do that today, but I want to conclude today with three verses. Some of you will know these verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, read this way. It says, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Now, folks, I really wasn't going to focus on that until this morning when I saw this. Folks, make sure that your pastors are well taken care of. Sheep of God, that's your responsibility. You say, hey, what does God want me to do? God wants you to take care of the preacher so they can do the preaching business and taking care of the business they need to. Say, no, not me. That's for somebody else. Do you want to harvest the righteousness? Do you believe in this principle? Take care of your teachers. Take care of those who are praying for you, those who are loving you, those who are going before the throne of God and hearing a word for you. Let me say, well, I don't know who that is in my life. Well, you better find somebody. And you need to take care of them because you have an obligation. Go ahead and say amen. Amen. Verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Even though the devil says, no, you won't, you and I will harvest what we plant. And he says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But listen now, because here's what I want to focus on. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. He's not just talking about a ticket to heaven, folks. If you and I will keep sowing spiritual things, I've listed all these spiritual things, being grateful, coming to church, teaching kids, being nice on the road, helping your fellow man, giving to people who have great need. Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Folks, everlasting life began the moment you were born on the earth. In fact, I got to correct myself. It began the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's when eternal life began. You have to make a choice. Am I going to sow to this flesh? Am I going to let this flesh influence me to always do my own thing and sow for myself? He says, if I do, I'm going to reap a harvest of corruption and decay. Folks, I've been doing this long enough now. You need to hear this, preacher. It's true. If you sow to your flesh, you will of your flesh reap corruption and decay. If you'll sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life now. The blessings that come with eternal life. And I don't care who you are, that is good news. Come on, one more time. I want you to shout, clap your hands, and give God a praise. Come on, you can do better for God in His Word. So here's the final exhortation today. And we all need to hear this in verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. There it is. Just at the right time, when you think you can't go any further, God says, just at the right time. In fact, folks, God has a timing in everything, and it usually doesn't line up with my timing. At just the right time, you'll reap if you don't give up. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up now. Come on, tell them. Come on, tell them. Turn around, tell somebody behind you, don't give up. This is no hour to give up, dear ones. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I want to pray for you and declare something to you. I declare to you that it is harvest now. I declare it, I speak it. Folks, there's something, I don't always sense this, but I sense it today. I'm speaking into the atmosphere. In fact, I'm speaking to the north, I'm speaking to the south, and I'm speaking into the east, and I'm speaking into the west of this region. And I'm declaring it is harvest time now. Come on, say it. It's harvest now. By the way, that needs to be our shout today. Well, I want to pray for you folks. Now's where we make a decision. Am I going to sow? Yeah. Am I going to sow money into the kingdom? That's between you and God. I encourage you to do it, folks. I encourage you. Malachi says, try me. I've tried it, and I've done it, and I've made it a lifestyle, and it works, friends. You got to make it a lifestyle. Is sowing those acts of kindness worth it? Oh, yeah, they are. One final thought. Folks, you say, well, man, I just feel like I'm going through a lean time. There are times where you're not bearing the fruit that you want to, because guess what? The vine dresser is getting you ready for the next. He's cutting away all the stuff. I believe God's been doing that in America, in the church, and around the world. And He's been trimming away the things we don't need. But I tell you, I feel it so strongly. God is saying, harvest now. I'm going to receive some of it. Can I just pray with you this morning? And let's believe the Lord Jesus. And I want to say to anyone here today, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, why not today? Why not? Because. Throw those becauses away. In fact, I want to have everyone bow their head. Now, I just want to ask, is there anyone right where you stand? And we're all going to pray together. Is there anyone would say by the lifting of their hand, I'm ready today to confess Jesus as Lord. I believe He's who He said He is. Lift up your hand real high while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Is there anybody this morning that would say, I am ready? Yes, sir, I see that hand. Lord, we thank You today. I know it takes courage, and I know sometimes people don't want to be spotlighted, but folks, this is the kind of thing you need to forget everybody else. And I'm just going to pray today, and I want to encourage those of you watching by the internet, listening by the radio today. I want you to pray with us as well as we pray, and I want those of you in this audience to repeat this prayer after me. And folks, if you don't know Jesus, and you believe He's God's Son, and He sacrificed His life for you, and He shed His blood on the cross, and you're ready for Him to come into your life, you're ready to confess Him, pray with me. Are you ready? Dear God, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. I confess to You, Lord, that I have sinned. I've done many wrong things. But I believe You died for me. And I believe You gave Your life for me. And today, I confess You as Lord of my life. And I will serve You from this day forward. I love You, Lord. Thank You for saving my soul and preparing heaven for me. I love You. And all of God's people said a great big amen.